urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is September 15th, 2025, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, a very, very special feast day in which we dedicate this program to Our Lady of Sorrows today. And for all those of you who are suffering emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, we pray that Our Lady of Sorrows will reach through the airways to your home, to your heart, to embrace you in a very special way. But let us begin in prayer, my friends, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today for our nation, for our world. We pray for families. We pray for all those who have been suffering. Jesus, we believe that you are the King of Kings, the King of all nations. We believe and entrust our lives to your Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary today. We pray for all those who are listening, who are fearful, who are sick, who just don't know where to turn and are just living, Jesus, from moment to moment, not trusting that you have their lives in the palm of your hands. We place all those who are listening today, your family members, and those who couldn't listen today but had the right intention. We pray for everyone, Lord Jesus, and for this radio network, in His Sign Catholic Radio Network, to always be protected, to go on for another century. We thank you and praise you, Jesus, and we glorify your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, since our broadcast last Monday, when we were celebrating the canonization of St. Carlo Acutis, the world has certainly been pierced with pain, hasn't it? Confusion, unity, and a lack of unity. And ultimately, we've been pierced with the need for prayer. Let us begin the program today. I want you to emotionally and spiritually connect with compassion, with love, with authenticity, and a desire for healing for not only our families, but our nation and our world. Let us use this program as a healing bridge for all those in need today. Lord, we pray again to help us embrace your heart of love and mercy. So, Lord Jesus, I give you this program and my faulty voice today. I'm losing my voice a little bit, so just bear with me. My friends, we're going to be talking about walking humbly with our God and the spiritual road signs to guide us through these really, really hard times. And I'm talking about and addressing the assassination of Charlie Kirk last week. What a week. Again, we had the canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis and St. Frassata. And then the very 2 days later, the assassination of a highly influential figure globally and nationally. And the country has been in chaos, and people are suffering so much. But it's also reigniting the influence of God the Father and renewing our motivation to serve Him and only Him. So, Jesus, we thank you for all of that. And so today, my friends, we're going to be taking a step-by-step journey in discussing, because if one looks at the life of Charlie Kirk, you will see that, and hear, he wasn't college educated. He wasn't a theologian. neither was Carlo Acutis, by the way, who was only 15 when he died. But Charlie was well-read, not only on the sacred scriptures, but on all types of books. He said he read over 100 books a year. So that's really important. Spiritual reading, isn't it, is so important. I remember, my goodness, in my 20s, when I had a reconversion back to the Catholic faith, I remember my spiritual mentor at that time was a priest who said, Ann, you need to really study the sacred scriptures, of course, join a Bible study, a prayer group, and to study the spiritual lives of the saints. Read the books of the saints. And I did, and it was life-changing. So today we're going to be talking about the importance of spiritual reading. Now, you know there's a lot of truth in the old saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. Now, some people have conquered and subjugated other people with the sword, but in the long run, their conquest have failed because they could not win over the minds and hearts of those whom they had forcibly conquered. Now, thoughts from the pen of another can win hearts and conquer people so profoundly, my friends, that the steadfast loyalty is assured for life. So spiritual reading, dear listeners, with its message of truth and love, can conquer souls and help us all to faithfully live the Christian life. Sure, we surrender our lives to Christ, but we need formation. We need formation, because if we don't have spiritual formation, then we come wibbly-wobbly, clanging cymbals, as it says in the scriptures. We need spiritual formation. Now, God has often used spiritual literature to inspire people to radically redirect their lives. This is so evident, and I'm going to use what's current today in the lives of Charlie Kirk and actually J.D. Vance, who was inspired by not only Charlie Kirk, they had many conversations, but with Dr. Scott Hahn. St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Society of Jesus, he's better known as, well, we know them as the Jesuits today. They provide a remarkable example of this. Now, Ignatius, did you know this? He was a soldier in the service of his native Spain. But his military career ended when a cannonball broke his leg, one leg, and it wounded the other during a battle. Now, Ignatius was sent to his family castle at Loyola to convalesce or to recover, and he asked for his favorite reading material. Guess what it was? Books of romance and chivalry. Now, there were none to be had, so apparently a devout sister-in-law had thrown these out. Now, two other books, I bet you didn't know this, two other books were available, The Life of Christ and A Collection of the Lives of the Saints. Now, he had absolutely no attraction to such spiritual topics, but he began to read simply to pass the time. He was bored and nothing else was available. So God's grace was at work. And as St. Ignatius read these books, he felt a strong attraction to their content. Strong attraction. Now, finally, his reading led him to ask himself a decisive question, which I want all of us to answer and ask today. What if I were to do what Francis did, or Anthony, or Carlo Acutis, or any of the other saints? He firmly resolved to imitate the saints, choosing to love Christ ardently and to serve under his kingly banner. Now, you should be able to line this up with Charlie Kirk or Carlo Acutis or St. Frassata. You should be able to line this up because spiritual reading was very important to them. Now, many of you as women know about Edith Stein, She was known as St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. If you're involved with Women of Grace, Edith Stein is well known, and the Women of Grace different seminars talk about Edith Stein. Edith Stein came to conversion through spiritual reading. Yes, look her up. Born in 1891 into a Jewish family in the German city of Breslau. Edith abandoned her faith at the age of 14. Now, that must sound familiar to a lot of parents and grandparents today. Oh, my children, my grandchildren, my family, they're abandoning their faith at the age of around 14 or 15. Now, during Edith's university years, she was a protege of the famous philosopher Edmund Husserl. And she earned a doctorate, actually, in philosophy in 1916. Now, one of the brightest philosophers of the time, she, meaning Edith Stein, experienced a growing interest in Catholic teaching. And she began to study the philosophical thought of St. Thomas Aquinas. Now, that's not easy. One night, while staying with friends, she picked a book from their shelf and settled in to read. Now, I hope a lot of people have bookshelves around their homes. I do this quite often. I have books in my house, and people laugh and say, "You have so many books. Have you read them all?" Yes. It turned out to be the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila. Edith stayed up all night and finished it. And as she closed the book in the morning, she said to herself, "Wow, that's the truth." She became a Catholic and a Carmelite nun and ultimately died in the Nazi concentration camps in Auschwitz as a result of religious persecution. Now, we all know there are many, many unknown and less dramatic conversions of just ordinary people inspired by reading Christian books. And many have fallen away from the church, and they come back when they read something that rekindled their longing for their faith or corrected misconceptions they had about Catholic teachings. Now, Archbishop, my favorite, Fulton Sheen, often said that if he believed what 90% of the people who leave the Catholic Church claimed, the Catholic Church actually taught, wow, he would leave too. Now, consider that many Catholics who may have left the church had not God led them to a significant writing that kept them from abandoning the boat of Peter from which Jesus preached and still preaches, my friends. Open your scriptures to Luke 5, verse 3, or Matthew 16, verses 15 through 19. Now, spiritual reading can help us grow in our life in Christ in many ways. Now, let's take a look at four particular benefits of this practice. Now, I am going to borrow from my deceased friend, Father Andrew Apostoli, what he recommended in a retreat, the four benefits of spiritual reading. And we pray that we have many listeners today, because we need some bumper guards to the right, to the left, because people are floundering, lost. Spiritual reading can help us grasp the truths of the Catholic faith more clearly. Now, this is according to Father Andrew Apostoli. Faith seeks understanding. St. Anselm said we should all work to understand more fully the truths we initially believed in faith. Clarity about these truths serves as a solid foundation for daily Christian life. Now, many Catholics today, for example, I know I've heard this over the years in the air and in ministry, question the value of regular confession. Well, why do I have to go to confessioning? I can just go in my room and confess my sins to God. Of course you can. Of course you can. But the healing balm, B-A-L-M, of this powerful sacrament is in confessing your sins. Yes. If we understood the purpose and fruits of this sacrament of God's mercy, We would appreciate its importance and practices, wouldn't we? And we would be heading to confession as often as we could. Now, the truths of the Catholic Church derive from God's revelation in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. Reading about them, my friends, and meditating on them stirs our desire to know, love, and serve the Lord in this life, and our desire to be happy with him forever in the next. Sacred teachings. Many of the fathers of the church studied and wrote their theology on their knees, so to speak, with a prayerful attitude and reverence for divine truth. And by the way, in a similar way, do we ever think of our reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church as spiritual reading? Or do you really think it's merely an academic study? Now, according to Father Andrew Apostoli, spiritual reading is the main source of the food for the thought that nourishes our prayer life. A good book on the magnificent gift of the Holy Eucharist, or on the supreme love seen in the Passion of our Lord, or on the virtues of Our Lady and the saints can sustain and strengthen and form our prayer. Now, St. Teresa of Avila recommended that we always, always, always have a good spiritual book nearby during meditation. And when our own thoughts run dry, and wow, do they run dry during these times, or our hearts feel so empty and fearful that it seems impossible to even speak heart to heart, an inspiring thought from a good book can be the spark that ignites a wonderful conversation with our Lord. As St. Teresa also said, he's more easy to speak with us than we can ever be to speak with him. Now, good spiritual reading also includes teaching us principles of Christian growth. Jesus spent 3 years forming the apostles in the ways of the Christian life so that they would be equipped to live it fully. Do you think for 1 minute that Charlie Kirk just woke up one day and he was full of knowledge? He disciplined himself to a prayer life, to a beautiful prayer life, to surrender to the will of God the Father, and to reading 100 books a year, not trash books. Spiritual reading. We must learn these same things because they form the principles of our spiritual life. For those willing to learn, solid spiritual authors can provide a kind of general spiritual direction. And I know at least 3 people looking for a spiritual director. Well, good spiritual authors provide a kind of general spiritual direction as growing in Christian virtue, overcoming the temptation that's facing all of us every day, and controlling our disordered passions. Now, classics, I'm going to recommend some classics, such as St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life, Thomas a Kempis' Imitation of Christ, or Jean-Pierre de Caussade, one of my favorites, Abandonment to Divine Providence. Give many of these fundamental principles. Get them tonight. Order them. Or go to a Catholic bookstore, or look at them on Amazon or Google. Also, the works of St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. Now, John of the Cross is a bit heavy, trust me, but you may be ready for John of the Cross. Present the ways of prayer and spiritual growth that you're looking for. For anyone who is listening tonight, who's eager to accept this challenge, spiritual reading stirs up our motivation to run the race, to grasp Jesus, our goal and reward, as he grasped us in Philippians 3, 12, verse 16. This is very important, my friends, because as St. Augustine said, the road becomes long when we decide to follow Jesus. It's not shortened, it's long. And even our best motivation weakens with time, doesn't it? And we often need reinforcing. Spiritual reading, my friends, renews us. It gives us a second wind. We'll find this motivation readily in reading the lives of the saints. In the saints, Pope John Paul II said, we see the action of the Holy Spirit in a very concrete fashion. That's what we need then. We need a concrete fashion. These saints inspire us, they stir us, and since we're humans, we're instinctively hero worshipers, aren't we? That's what's happening with Charlie Kirk. We need a hero in this century, and we find ourselves wanting to imitate them, and that is to stand for truth, to stand for the sacred scriptures, and to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Autobiographies of the saints generally have the greatest impact, don't they? Since they not only describe the outward actions of the saints, but also their inner thoughts and feelings. Their inner thoughts and feelings. Saint Augustine's Confessions, highly recommend it, is a classic, my friends, in this field. It's still life-changing today in 2025. For many who identify with his struggles on the road to finding God. Now, I can't imagine that we have one listener who isn't struggling today, including your broadcast for me, always struggling, always seeking the will of God the Father. The Story of a Soul by St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, that's another classic, was written under obedience to her superiors. But Teresa herself asked that it be published. Now, she had an inspiration from God. She had a premonition that her little way of spiritual childhood would help many souls to know and love him. Now, sometimes those who know a saint personally write his or her biography. Now, we know that with Carlo Acutis. We know that his mother, Antonia, has written a few books about his life, and there will be many more written. And we know Maria Esperanza Bianchini, who's been beatified. Lives have been many. I guess I don't know if they have an imprimatur or not, but people have written about her from Batania, Venezuela. These are modern day people. Dorothy Day, she's not beatified, but people have written about her. And this was the case for St. Athanasius when he wrote the life of St. Antony, not Anthony, Antony, a book that became a pattern for many future biographies of saints. Now, other classic biographies were written by authors who may or most have had a passing acquaintance. Now, we know of a lot of secular books that people claim they're writing an autobiography or biography, and they're not even approved, with the saint or who gathered data from those who knew the saint personally or who used testimonies about the saint given by witnesses during the saint's canonization process. I know personally Father Leo Masberg from Austria, who traveled with Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, a Vatican diplomat, was part of her beatification and her canonization. He wrote a book about her dark days, and he shared with me many times how, even though she suffered terribly, she never, ever missed an opportunity to praise God or to smile at someone who was hurting or who disagreed with her. She would smile not out of sarcasm, but out of love, the love of Jesus. So I know a live person who is alive today in Austria who traveled the world with Mother Teresa. And I was so privileged to have him spend time in my home and share all these stories, you know, before she actually died. And then after her death, calling from Austria and sharing these stories. St. Bonaventure and Brother Thomas of Celano's biographies of St. Francis of Assisi are based primarily on evidence, they gathered from those who knew Francis. Now, no matter what type of spiritual reading we do, it's important that we do enough of it. Not hit and miss, 5 minutes here and there. You're going to be committed. You're going to be committed to the spiritual reading. Now, this takes discipline. Now, 15 minutes a day, according to Father Andrew Apostoli, and I took notes from him, seems like a good target, doesn't it? But many people simply can't do that. Now, we all prefer to get into our spiritual reading for an hour or two, as occasion allows, or listen to spiritual tapes, audio tapes, that's a biggie, a great substitute when we don't have time to read, especially while you're in the car. And regardless how or when we do it, the point is, my friends, that we must do at least a minimum in order to nourish our souls. And this takes discipline. And this is what we are called, to be disciplined Christians. We need to know our faith. We need to know our sacred scriptures. We need to be in relationship with our Lord and our Blessed Mother. We need to work on it. Grace is a gift. Virtue is a gift. But you just can't sit around the house smoking your cigar or watching soap operas and expect the saints to drop in on you with a book at your door. You have to work at it and ask for it and surrender your will. One of the things that I loved, I honestly didn't know a whole lot about Charlie Kirk until last week, and I started watching some of the social media teachings that he did. One of the things that I was very touched is that before every time that he spoke or wherever he went, he always asked for the will of the Father, to do the will of the Father, not his will, but the will of God the Father. He prayed. And this is what we must do before we exit our homes, our jobs, our cars, the supermarket. I want to tell you a little funny story. This may seem insignificant, but my husband and I went to the store on Saturday. And since I'm diabetic, because I can't have many sweets, I love these little tiny pretzels from this particular store. So we went around the store and everything was sold out. I mean, they didn't have anything. It looked like people ravaged the shelves. And I said, oh, well, then I'm not supposed to have it. And we were walking down our final aisle to go to the checkout. And what do you know? The one bag of little pretzels was sitting in an aisle, straight up on the edge of the shelf, where one could not miss it, had nothing to do with pretzels. Actually, it was paper goods. And I stopped and I said, oh my goodness, there's one bag of pretzels. I knew that my guardian angel put those pretzels there for me. And now this may sound like a ridiculous story, but that's how God works in my life, because I've learned to expect it. See, a little simple bag of pretzels, when the whole shelf was emptied, on another shelf of paper goods, it's an impossible situation. It wasn't at the register. It was simply sitting there for me to see. My husband didn't see it. I saw it. And I laughed and I told him, oh, my guardian angel put them there. And when we got home, I said, oh, these pretzels, my guardian angel wanted me to have them. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but when you become sensitized to the presence of the Lord in your life, you see all these little tiny miracles in your life, and it's a little one, but it's no big deal to someone who's listening with a horrible thing happening. But it's how God speaks to me in the present moment. It's through those little times that he gives me a little nudge and says, see, I'm with you. I know you really wanted them, but you accepted the fact that they weren't there. So your angel rescued a bag. I don't know where it came from, and placed it in the paper good aisle. So after the break, we have so much more to discuss, because faith seeks understanding, so stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And I'm so happy to be with you today as we share so much. You know, it's been a very difficult week since last week. We've had our blessings with St. Carlo Acutis and St. Frassata, and then the death of Charlie Kirk. And so much is happening globally and in our country. So much confusion that we need to really stand up and be counted, to be praying, to be a people of prayer and praise, to live our faith openly, and most importantly, to have hearts of forgiveness and to truly, truly educate and motivate our children in the ways of our church. We thank you and praise you, dear Lord. And on this feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, we place this program and all the sorrows of all those who are listening in your heart tonight. We thank you, Blessed Mother, for loving this radio network. So one of the greatest challenges facing Christians today, isn't it, is the task of building what Pope John Paul II called the civilization of love. Now, I don't know about you, but boy, wasn't it hard to find that love at some points last week, and other times it was filled with love. He spoke of this often as a central task of the third millennium. Now, building the civilization of love involves, among other things, a great spiritual struggle. That's right. It's not like a love fest. It's a great spiritual struggle in three areas. First, Pope John Paul II said, we have to counter the crisis of civilization caused by the secularism of our time. Now, wasn't this prophetic? What a writing. We have to counter the crisis of civilization caused by the secularism of our time. And as a society, we have achieved a high degree of technological accomplishment, but we're impoverished by our tendency to keep God at a distance or to forget him entirely. We need to counter the secularism by the practice of our faith, which moves us to believe in God and in all that he has revealed to us and continues to teach us through the church. Second, according to Pope John Paul II, we must struggle against modern man's addiction to greed and lust. Many people today, he said, are virtually enslaved by these vices. Living by the virtue of hope, we remember that we are only pilgrims and strangers on this earth, passing through the world, and that our hearts were made for the eternal joys of the kingdom of heaven that have been promised to all of us, not some of us, all of us. And third, we must counter the terrible culture of death and its contempt for human life, the precious gift God has given to us. And now we know the obvious manifestation of this, of death, as we saw last week. Contraception, abortion, euthanasia, violence. And in other manifestations, he said, suffering of poverty, injustice, neglect and exploitation. The human person created with dignity by God has been dehumanized. Selfishness characterizes the behavior of many in our post-Christian society. And to counter this moral and spiritual darkness, we have to bring to the world the light of Jesus Christ and the gospel values. Shake your head wherever you're at if you agree. In doing this, we build up the civilization of love. That failure to do this simply allows evil to spread. And boy, oh boy, is it spreading. As the Irish philosopher Edmund Burke once observed, all that is needed for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. The love, the civilization of love begins in our heart, in our thought, and is usually expressed in our words. But it must not stop here, my friends. It must be lived out in our actions. Some of the New Testament writers made the point, like St. James, for instance. He wrote, if a brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? That's from James 2, verse 15 and 16. St. John, the beloved apostle, made the same point. He said, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. That's from 1 John 3, 17 to 18. So what was Jesus' love like? It was a love of service, a love of sacrifice. You all know what that is, a love of compassion. To have compassion is to experience what another person is experiencing, to feel his or her pain and suffering, and to be moved to do what you can to alleviate it. Compassionate love leads us to a feeling of pity, which prompts us to acts of mercy. It's powerful stuff. Compassionate love, my dear listeners, shows in kind deeds of mercy. It can speak a language of its own when no other communication is possible. Carlo Acutis did this. He took sleeping bags out to the streets to the homeless. He didn't talk about it. He did something. St. Peter Claver, the great Jesuit missionary to Colombia in South America, provides a very moving example of this. Many of you may or may not know this story. He worked tirelessly among the slaves brought there from Africa who were condemned to live in terrible circumstances. He did so much. Inspired by these examples of love, let us set about doing what we can through deeds of service, sacrifice, and compassion. And when we do this, we're helping in building the civilization of love to Jesus. These are simple ways to a virtuous life, my friends. Simple ways. I want you to really pray and think about what has happened over the last 7 days in our country. Not so much in the media, which, by the way, I told you, I am a trained journalist, having been in the media for most of my life. So much is fake news. You're not getting everything. In global news, you're not getting the big picture at all. In global news, I don't know whatever happened to global news. When you see and hear on local news, they're selling things at the end of the program. Oh, look, buy this hair dryer, buy this boot. What happened to the global news? So be sure you understand which news is from God and is accurate. And is accurate. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. And you know, in a discerning heart, in a prayerful heart, knows what is accurate. Because a lot of trash is coming down the pipeline. And we need to be savvy. You don't need to have degrees in journalism or have practiced journalism. But we all need to be savvy in our prayer lives. We need to do that spiritual reading that I just talked about. We need to truly, truly serve the Lord in all the ways that we learn through a prayer network like this. You see, In His Sign Catholic Network is about much more than entertainment. Oh, I'm sure we have listeners who think, I listen because I just like it. Well, that's fine. But are you learning? Is the dial moving? Are you pivoting to a stronger relationship with the Lord through any radio broadcast that you're hearing on this network? I know it's Kathleen McCarthy's will and desire as president of In His Sign Catholic Network that the meter and the dial is always moving towards heaven. It's not about glorifying the broadcasters or the network. It's about glorifying the Lord. And so many miracles are happening through In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. And this is why Kathleen always says to share if you're on Facebook or social media. But I'm not on social media in particular at this time because I do my broadcast from various locations. And it's impossible for me at this time. But one never knows how the Lord will set it up for me to be on Facebook or Instagram with this radio broadcast. I don't know what He has planned. But certainly, I am grateful to be with you. And I hope and pray that those of you who listen week after week write to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network and have them send me a note that you're a listener and what you like or dislike. It would mean a lot to me. Because every week, as I've shared with you, I pray, Lord Jesus, what is it that you want of this program? What do you want today? And I always am high and dry. I have no clue. As my family members ask, what's your topic for today? Oh, I don't know. I have to pray. And every week I think we're up at 7 or 9 years. I'm not even sure. The Lord shows me exactly what He wants. Now, do I know if I have a huge listening audience? I have no idea. I know I have a handful, but it doesn't matter because Mother Teresa once said, even if you have one listener, that's all that matters, one. So if someone is donating to the radio network for airtime, and if we have one listener, that's the one the Lord wants. So if you're the one listening today, you're the one the Lord wants listening today. You're the one being challenged for the spiritual reading. So are you up for the challenge today? I don't care if you're male or female, Protestant, Christian, any other denomination. This is a Catholic radio network. We proclaim the gospel. Because if we're going to grow in a life of virtue, my friends, we must come to terms with the meaning of suffering in our lives. And the role suffering plays in all of our lives, including those who participate on the air in the network. There's no better place to start than with Jesus, the Lamb of God, who offered Himself for us forgiven of our sins, that we may live forever with God in heaven. The Lamb of God, the book of Revelation always talks about the Lamb of God. I want you to say that right now, wherever you're at. Lamb of God, take away my sins. Please, Lamb of God. And many of us wonder, don't we? If God really intended for us to suffer, we've done about a half a dozen radio programs about this. Did he really intend for us to suffer? Would we always have had the cross? How did suffering come about? And when that happens, many people get angry. Are you angry today at God? Or have you given up on him? Then stay away from church and even deny God's existence. Do you do that? And when tragedies such as last week happen, many people ask, could there possibly be a God who would allow this to happen? For someone, a 31-year-old, to be murdered, or for a young girl in a train, or kids in the streets, or human trafficking, or all the other murders? Would a God of love allow this to happen? All this touches all of our lives, doesn't it? So why does evil exist? And suffering, my friends, didn't originate with God and was not part of his plan. Suffering traces back to our first parents through the first sin, original sin. And although many people deny or at least double the reality of original sin, it's real. As the Council of Trent stated, it's in each of us in a personal way. Now, G.K. Chesterton, look him up, used to say that you can deny that pouring water on somebody's head is baptism is going to do them any good in terms of solving their problems and those of the world. But you can't deny that the world has a lot of problems and all of us have our share of them. Now, if you don't believe in original sin, just watch the news tonight on TV and you'll be convinced that something is wrong with the world. It doesn't operate the way it should. That's the effect, my friends, of original sin. We have so much to learn and so much to contemplate. And as the Lord has been leading me over the summer, I highly recommend that you write in for the books that Kathleen has compiled through the prophetic words given to her. And they have an imprimatur, Anik Kielopstadt. I said, Lord, what is the word that you want me to read today? Wow, wait till you hear this. Wait till you hear this. If you're driving, if you're in your office, listen carefully. These words were given to Kathleen McCarthy, and they have the Anik Kielopstadt and imprimatur of the Roman Catholic Church. Never forget, the church is ever ancient and yet ever new. There has been a great apostasy in the church. Many have fallen away because of it. Many do not know their faith because of it. But I'm pouring out my Holy Spirit. I'm correcting errors. I'm speaking the truth loud and clearly through the shepherds that are filled with holy boldness and courage. I'm drawing others back to their faith. I've told you that I will never forget my people. I've told you that I will never leave you orphan. So this is the time. This is the time. I have breathed anew on you. I am stirring the fire of my Holy Spirit in the hearts and souls of my people who have stood firm in the truth, who would not allow their ears to be tickled, who would not lead others astray. This is my church. I founded it, I raised it up, and through the power of my Holy Spirit, my soul remains in the church. My heart remains in the church. Though many will come and try to destroy it, many will come and try to tear down because of the darkness that had entered the church in many different areas. But I have told you, the gates of hell will not prevail against her. My mother has come time and time again to bring a message of mercy, of love, of fasting and prayer, and supplication. But many go about their business paying no attention. I've raised up holy people, holy shepherds, and they too have spoken boldly, stood for the truth when others so deceptively tried to lead them astray. And because of that courage, because of that holy boldness, because of their great love for me, because they've consecrated their life to my life, because they've emptied themselves for love of me, it'll be their voices that will go out through the church. It'll be their voices that will guide and lead my people back. So you must have ears to hear. You must have a spirit that will yield to my spirit so that I may use you in ways that you're not even aware of, nor have you even begun to understand the ways that I can use you and will use you. You will be bearers of my truth. It will be this truth living in you, burning in you, that will ignite the fire of my love in the hearts of others, even those whose hearts have grown cold. Even those who say they do not believe, even those who have walked away from the truth, if you believe in my prayer and my power at work in you, at work in my church, at work in my shepherds, then you have nothing to fear. Trust all into my loving care. Trust all that you have into my sacred heart. And trust all, no matter what takes place in this world, that I myself am going before you, and I myself will protect and watch over each and every one of you. So be still. Talk to me. Walk with me. Listen with your heart, and I will reveal truth, purpose, and you and I'll walk side by side. You and I together will be a sign and a witness that I am alive and living in my church and in you. Make no mistake about it. I'm alive and I'm living in every tabernacle all over the world. You have eyes and you see. You have ears and you hear, and your mind has been enlightened to truth. Go therefore and make new disciples. For when you call out to my Father and your Father, when you pray, as I myself taught my apostles and disciples to pray, I ask you to be aware, be greatly aware, that when you say that prayer, you're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about it. My will is that all men be saved. My kingdom is about a civilization of love, and you're called to reflect my love in the world. This is the kingdom that you pray for on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, you shall be merciful, compassionate, kind, loving, and gentle spirit. This is what my kingdom's about. It's about a civilization of love. And yet you tend to separate the good from the bad. And so you surround yourself with those who you can only relate to. You surround yourselves with those who are like-minded, which is good if the others do not hear. How will they grow in faith, in hope, and in trust? Many souls are crushed. Many hearts are broken. Many souls are lost. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love completely. I love unconditionally. And yes, I love that way in you and through you. When you allow me, I ask you to remember this today. Thy kingdom come. I'm coming. Make no mistake about it. And when I come, it will be I will be the one to separate the good from the evil. But it is not up to you to judge, because you do not have my mind and my heart. Only I can read the hearts and minds and souls of all my creatures, of all my children. There's a difference, you know, between the creature and my child. I would have all my creatures recognize me as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I depend on my children to bring forth that civilization of love, not to separate by your judgment who's worthy to be saved and who is not. For that is for me to determine. And while there is the time, I call you tonight to love as I love, to allow me to love unconditionally through you, for that is what will bring the lost home. That is what will bring those who are broken, those who are hurting, those who are lost. It is that love, that mercy and compassion, yes, even correction, when they see in you the manifestation of my power at work in you. They will reach out, and you must reach back. If they do not reach out, then you must reach back first and allow them to feel the warmth of my tenderness. I have placed the unlovable in your lives. My friends, those were the prophetic words given to Kathleen McCarthy in 2011, written in a book, Volume 4, In the Silence of My Heart. And if you're just tuning in, you can call the office or order them at 610-527-2986. They have the Nikhil Afsat, which if you're not Catholic, and the imprimatur, you have to have them, because people always say, oh, the Lord told me. Well, these all line up with the sacred scriptures, and they've been approved by the church, so they're very important. It's important for us, my friends, to be a family, to gather in prayer, to build up those who are broken or who don't even agree with us. I pray that this Catholic radio network reaches across the aisle, that it builds bridges in families and in churches and homes today. I pray for the healing of our country, the healing of our world, that only love and forgiveness will take hold. I pray for you today, my friends who are listening. You, all those who are listening who think by mistake, you are not listening by mistake. You are called to listen today. I thank you for being part of this amazing family. And I ask that you pray for me, that I will continue to be a foot soldier for the Lord, that he will use me as he wishes. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may our Lady's mantle, which is sorrowful today, be wrapped around you. And know that in God's eyes, you are special and you are loved, no matter who you are or what you represent today. The Lord is waiting for you. He is waiting. Gift of love and mercy. Amen. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.